Okay, well, somewhere I have a paper here that it says that I am going to be saying something about Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 16, so I guess that's what I'll preach about. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for your indwelling presence by way of your Spirit and Scripture, the Holy, by which we, your disciples, the members of your church, are united in the bond of the Christian faith and are educated and obedient to your theology, philosophy, wisdom, disciplines in righteousness, whereby we are kept in the bond of faith and peace with you and with one another, to your glory and honor, amen. Please, Lord Jesus, I am in desperate need of your help. This sermon is far from being complete, but may it be profitable unto you and to the congregation. Okay, the study of the epistle to the Christians in Ephesus is like all Christian scripture. Very interesting, very informative, very educational. For as we read in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, the whole of Holy Scripture is divinely inspired by God and is given for doctrine, reproof, reformation, disciplines in righteousness, that the children of God be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all godliness. And as we read in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 14, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all persons, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we must live righteously, godly in this present world, and we will be looking for the blessed expectation, the glorious appearing of the great God, our Savior, the Lord Jesus the Christ, for he gave himself for us, that he redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself his own distinct, unique people, being zealous to do good works. In chapter 1, verse 4, we have reference to the chosen. In the Greek, this is the word eklego. And this is related to the words elect, eklektos, and election, eklage. These words are used to define the doctrine of election. Much unnecessary debate, misunderstanding, anger has erupted because some theologians and commentators want to decide who the elect are, when actually God, Lord Jesus, before he founded and established the world, determined who the elect are. The elect are the saved. The persons having faith in sovereign God, Lord Jesus, are obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit and Scripture, preparing for and anticipating eternal life in the eternal holy Jerusalem. We that are disciples of God, Lord Jesus, in this present life, he, Jesus, by way of his Spirit and Scripture, integrates his Spirit and Scripture into the spirit of our souls and minds, so his Spirit and Scripture governs our spirits, our souls, our minds, speech, thoughts, reactions, actions, and affections. The next theological doctrine referenced is in verse 5, and that is predestinated or predestination. Sovereign God the Lord, prior to creation, predestinated, marked out, determined in advance, according to his foreknowledge, that he would, by his Spirit and Scripture, conform to the image of his Son, Jesus. The sovereign God knew and knows they that would and will respond with genuine faith to his message of eternal salvation. These are they God conforms to the image of his Son. Adoption is another theological doctrine referenced in verse 5. Sovereign God, Lord Jesus, is the adoptive father and the brother of all genuine Christians. We that make honest confession of believing in sovereign God, Lord Jesus, living obedient to his scripture, he adopts us as his children, makes us heirs of eternal salvation in the eternal holy Jerusalem. In chapters 2 and 3, we are educated to the fact Christian Jews and Christian Gentiles are one in sovereign God, Lord Jesus. This fact is revealed in Acts chapter 11, verse 26, part F, Galatians chapter 2, 20, and Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. In which we read, for ye are all the children of God, by faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. The baptism refers not to water, but to the Holy Spirit. Many people have been baptized with water, and all they did get, and all that happened was they got wet. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Chapter 6 of Galatians, verses 15 and 16. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but the new creation. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. Let's see. There is also Colossians chapter 3, verse 11, in which we read that where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. And even over in Old Testament, we find indication that Jews and Gentiles that believe upon God, the Lord Jesus, are one. And it says in Psalm 24, starting in verse 3, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessings of righteousness from the Lord, the God of his salvation. This is Israel of the eternal generation, of they that seek the Lord, that they may see his face. Chapters 1 through 3 contain themes of theological doctrine. Then chapter 4, transition occurs from the theoretical to the practical, or the experiential, the theoretical being put into practice. Chapter 4 contains the 32 verses. This evening, we will study verses 1 through 16. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, and endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended? He descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he will fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some pastor teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto the perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. God the Lord Jesus, by way of his Spirit the Holy, inspired his apostle Paul to begin chapter 4, much the same as chapter 3, by declaring he is a prisoner of God, the Lord Jesus the Christ. This declaration could be reference to the fact Paul was a prisoner in Rome for the testimony of sovereign God, Lord Jesus, when he wrote this epistle. Roman Caesars, like all government tyrants, before and after, have emotional and mental distress. They do not want to hear, there is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, to whom they must and will give worship and answer. Our God and Lord and Savior gave warning about such kind of people. And this is recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 1 through 22. The declaration prisoner of the Lord can also be referenced to the fact he was a willing servant of God, Lord Jesus, for the purpose of declaring and recording the Lord God's theology, philosophy, wisdom, disciplinary instructions in righteousness. In Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 22, and Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 through 20, we read about the conversion of Saul, persecutor of Christians. He went from there to being an apostle of God, Lord Jesus, and renamed Paul, called to be an evangelist to Gentiles. Paul did not on his own decide to be a Christian, to be an evangelist, to record in epistles the divine theology, philosophy, wisdom, disciplines, and righteousness of God, Lord Jesus. Apostle Paul, by way of the Holy Spirit, realized the sovereign Lord God Jesus had called him to this calling, to this vocation. Therefore, it was imperative for Paul, and continues to be imperative to all preachers, to beseech, to call upon, to exhort, earnestly advise, warn each other and they in the pew to walk worthy, to live in the manner befitting the vocation, the calling to which God, Lord Jesus, has called us to, namely that of being Christian, a disciple, a student, a learner, a follower of Lord Jesus, meaning we are to be of his holiness. Pastors and others, the church leadership team, and Sunday school teachers that have privilege to preach, teach the divine scripture have the more responsibility to be honest with the meaning, the interpretation of scripture, for the understanding of the congregation demands it, the resultant manner of living and eternal destiny of they in pulpit and pew demands it. Pastors, elders, deacons, Sunday school teachers, having responsibility, having privilege to preach, teach divine scripture, whether expositionally or topically, must consider seriously the warnings given them. Specifically, for instance, Malachi chapter 2 and verses 1 to 3. And which we read, "And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, and if ye will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yes, I have cursed them already, because you do not take it to heart. Behold, I will corrupt your seed and spread manure upon your faces, even the manure of your solemn feasts, and one shall take you away with it." All Christians in pulpit and pew have responsibility to live the Christian life, led by the Holy Spirit, for the Holy Spirit is given to us, to we that love God, by God, Lord Jesus, that he may abide with us, manifesting himself, making himself and his holiness known to us in our spirits, souls, minds, affections, speech, actions, reactions, forever. The preacher, the church leadership team, Sunday school teachers, all members and attendees of the local congregation of the Church of Sovereign Lord God Jesus are to and will live the Christian life with all lowliness, humility, and meekness, with long-suffering, self-restraint, forbearing one another in love, and in endeavoring, making every effort to keep, preserve, maintain the unity, the oneness of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, in the bond of peace, banded together, bound together in spiritual health and spiritual agreement with one another through and with God, Lord Jesus, by way of his Spirit and Scripture. Christians must not be contentious with one another, especially we of the same congregation, except for the cause of contending earnestly for the Christian faith, the faith once delivered unto the saints. Many verses remind us we Christians are bound together by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Sovereign God, Lord Jesus. There is Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 6 through 21. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 to 14. And there is Matthew chapter 12, verses 31 and 32. There's chapter 16, verses 13 through 18. Chapter 22, verses 34 through 40. Mark chapter 12, verses 29 through 31, 32 and 37. John chapter 14, verses 15 to 26. And chapter 15, verse 12. And here in Ephesians we have chapter 4 and verse 30, in which we read, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." The Holy Spirit, the indwelling presence of God, Lord Jesus, in this verse means that the Holy Spirit is made angry. He does not like to be grieved. When Christian brethren conduct themselves as heathens, unregenerate, unconverted, unrepentant, unsanctified, when Christians conduct themselves in such manner, they must consider their actions, reactions as sin, the sin of forsaking their first love. In the Christian Holy Bible, we read about one body. Body being the word being used as a metaphor for the church corporate, the church of sovereign Lord Jesus. And this, of course, includes the local congregations. In the Christian Holy Bible, we read about local congregations, the church in Galatia, Thessalonica, Corinth, Rome, Ephesus, Philippi, Colossae, the church in Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. We never read about the church belonging to individuals such as Constantine, Martin Luther, John Calvin, John Knox, John Wesley, Charles Wesley, Roger Williams, Charles G. Finney, and etc. Apostle Paul, in the first epistle to the Corinthians, in chapter 1, verses 10 through 16, advises against it. Divine Scripture declares there is one church, the Christian church, the church of sovereign God, Lord Jesus. We read about this in Matthew chapter 16, verses 16 through 18, and chapter 17, verse 5. There is one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, imparting spiritual life, even as we are called in one hope of our calling, the hope being we Christians are experiencing salvation from sin and are heading toward the eternal holy Jerusalem. There is one Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, God self-manifest in human flesh. He is the divine ruler. There is one faith, the Christian faith, faith in Christ for salvation. There is one baptism, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There is one God and Father of all. He is above all and through all and in us all. In these verses, there is many doctrine of the Trinity, the unity of the church, whether local or corporate. Individual Christians have union with God. Union derived from one Spirit, one Lord, one faith, one God and Father. The Holy Spirit of God, the Father, God the Son, indwells us, brings us into union with God the Father and God the Son. May the response of Open Door Bible Church, Middletown, Pennsylvania, always be to cherish our union with the Holy Spirit, with Jesus Christ and God, and not violate it with attitudes, words, actions, reactions of iniquity. Sovereign God, Lord Jesus, by way of his Spirit and Scripture, the holy, recorded by his apostle and amanuensis Paul, declares there is diversity, variety of spiritual gifts within the unity. And the verses also declare the giver of the spiritual gifts and the why, the reasons. The giver, God, Lord Jesus, gives the spiritual gifts. Two of the spiritual gifts, God, Lord Jesus, gives his disciples, the members of his church, are his Spirit and his Scripture. The Spirit and Scripture are vital to our present spiritual life and future eternal life in heaven. As we read in Romans chapter 8, verses 9 through 14. Ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God abide in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that abides in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. God, Lord Jesus, by his Spirit and Scripture, educates, enables, leads us, his disciples, to serve him when and wherever as he sees fit. In verses 8 through 10 in Ephesians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul writes that sovereign God, Lord Jesus, by way, declares that he, Jesus, is central to the revelations, chapters, privileges he gave to the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor, teachers, and continues to give. In these verses refer specifically to a God self-manifest in human flesh, God the Son incarnate, Lord Jesus the Christ, from the earliest years following the completion of recorded divine scripture by the Lord's apostolic amanuensis, the early theologians, the earliest extant interpretation and comments by a man by the name of Rufinus, to the present, these verses, like others, have been interpreted and commented on in various manner, many of which have either none or partial spiritual benefit to the reader and hearer. Much of that which is written in commentaries is refuted by divine scripture. What then is, in brief, correct interpretation? First, verse 9, descended into the lower parts of the earth refers to Christ's death and burial. Ascended refers to his ascension, including his resurrection. Verse 8, when Jesus in spirit, soul, and body resurrected from the tomb, he resurrected Old and New Testament saints that preceded him, as we read in Matthew chapter 27, verses 52 and 53. He freed them, their souls, spirits, bodies, from captivity of burial in a grave. Yes, their bodies returned to a grave, but their souls, spirits ascended into paradise, eternal holy Jerusalem. Remember our Lord's conversation with the repentant thief in Luke chapter 23, verses 39 through 43. Be much assured, though the body of the Christian is in a grave, the soul and spirit is ascended into the eternal holy Jerusalem. Again, Sovereign God, Lord Jesus, is central to the revelations, talents, privileges he gave to the prophets, apostles, evangelists, pastor teachers, and continues to give. He gives the gift of evangelist, pastor, teacher, plus the privileges of a service as elders, deacons, Sunday school teachers, church musicians, and others to maintain church property. These gifts are from the Lord and to be used for his glory. The gift of prophet was fulfilled by the Lord's amanuensis of the Old Testament. The gift of apostle was fulfilled by the Lord's amanuensis of the New Testament. These writings are the foundation of the Lord's church and faith and must not be tampered with. Prophet is mainly Old Testament, though in the broad sense, Mark, Luke, and Agabus are thought of as New Testament prophets, while Philip and Timothy are named as evangelists. There currently are no evangelists, such as a Billy Graham, holding citywide meetings, featured on television, making national and international campaigns and headlines. Yet the work of evangelists continues in the form of missionaries, whether those missionaries be in one of the foreign countries or being right here in this country. We have people right down in Philadelphia, people that we know that are very well acquainted with. And, of course, there is the greatest evangelist of all time, the Holy Spirit and Scripture, running free course wherever, whenever it will. And there is the gift of the calling, the privilege, the enabling to be the pastor teacher of the local congregation. This gift is given to men. The Lord enables to fulfill multifaceted responsibilities of ministry. Their work is hardly ever done. The individuals filling the gifts, the opportunities, privilege of service are ambassadors of and for God, Lord Jesus, his spirit, his scripture, his faith, his church, his kingdom. Especially the pastor, teacher, elders, deacons, Sunday school teachers, we are the more accountable to the Lord. For that which we speak and give evidence of must be to the glory and of and love unto the sovereign Lord God Jesus. Love and edification, the spiritual maturation of the congregation as the whole, so none of us be infantile, but mature, able to discern between true and false, a doctrine, encouraging all attendees to live sanctified lives unto the Lord Jesus, able to live Lord Jesus' theology, philosophy, wisdom, disciplines in righteousness. Observations. We must remember we as Christians are united with one another by way of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, Lord Jesus. He, the Lord, has infused into our spirit, souls, minds, bodies. Therefore, we must realize, know, and live as one with the Lord God Jesus and with one another. It is obvious the only fit theology, philosophy, wisdom, disciplines fit to be preached, taught to Christian disciples of God, Lord Jesus, the attendees of his church, is that of God, Lord Jesus. Observation and application. In verse 30 of this same epistle and chapter 4, we are warned, advised, commanded, even, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, Remember the word grieve does not refer to make sad, but to be angry. Therefore, do not do that which makes the Lord God angry. Amen.